helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. The preamble to the Constitution lists the reasons why it was drafted. The second item on that list is to establish justice. But have we the people fulfilled on that promise? If not, are we going to do something about it? After all, if one of the reasons we ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America is to establish justice, shouldn't we also make sure it fulfills that promise and all the other purposes behind it? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And one of the ways we do that is by, well, learning what the Constitution says, including the preamble. And today, I want to talk about this idea of establishing justice and just what is this justice that we're supposed to establish and how do we go about doing it? And if justice is failing in America, what do we do? So like so often we do here at the Constitution Study, we're going to start with a definition. And as usual, I'm going back to Noah Webster and his 1828 dictionary. Now there he defines justice as the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Practical conformity to the laws and to the principles of rectitude in the dealings of men with each other. Honesty, integrity in commerce or mutual intercourse. In other words, justice is doing what is right, making sure everyone gets what they're due. And notice, it pays no attention to race or color or creed or sex. Justice is just justice. It's impartiality. It is agreeable with what is right. And I believe that's something that we should all strive for. Now, I understand we're not always going to get there. And any system, any involvement that deals with human beings is going to have its flaws. But we should be striving for justice, even if we don't quite make it each and every time. So as we look at this, I want to take a look at some of these news stories. Now, we've been talking a lot about the FBI lately and their recent, attacks on pro-life activists, their recent vendetta against those on the pro-life activists, the abuse of the laughably called Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act to punish those who disagree with the pro-abortion mantra. Now, if there is justice, the first thing you have to ask is it just to punish somebody for demonstrating for their beliefs? Now, I agree you should not block clinic entrances, but again, most of these are not for actually blocking clinic entrances. They're for attempting to planning to. In other words, it's the thought crime of, well, you are going to, so we gotcha. Now, if there are those that did actually violate the property rights of these organizations, in other words, if they blocked access to their employees or their customers, if they did damage, then they should be charged. Does it warrant a morning raid by multiple FBI officers flak vests, flak jackets? That's another question. Is it just to take a pro-life activist who is accused for defending his son from an aggressive, intimidating pro-abortion activist? Does that warrant having a dozen armed federal agents show up early in the morning and arresting him in front of his children? Does that seem like justice? Especially while at the very same time, since since the Dobbs decision has been released, there have been more than 100 churches vandalized. And you know what? I have yet to see one report of an FBI raid on someone who vandalized a church for being pro-life. So that's the problem with justice. We picture justice as scales, and the metaphor being fair, being just, giving both sides equal treatment. Justice as a statue is also blind. She's blindfolded so that she's not choosing based on the race or the sex or the poverty of the person involved. But we seem to have what is laughably called the Department of Justice that ignores the blindfold and simply picks political winners and losers. Now, again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's evidence that hasn't come to light. But when we see almost 24 pro-life activists arrested, most of them in FBI raids, and not a single arrest made for those who attacked pro-life organizations, crisis pregnancy centers, vandalized, in some cases, firebombed these. There's no justice. That is not justice. In fact, I would call them the Department of Injustice, because that is the way they're acting. Of course, it's not just the Department of Injustice that is violating justice. It's much of the system is violation of justice. For example, the House of Representatives has this unjust committee. They call it the January 6th Special Committee. Now, this is unjust for several reasons. First of all, Congress does not have plenary investigative powers. In other words, it is not the purpose of Congress to investigate crimes. Now, can Congress hold investigations? Yes, for the purposes of drafting legislation, they can investigate, they can hold committees and gather information and conduct, but not criminal investigations. Also, by the way, there is no power delegated to Congress to subpoena people, to demand they attend. In fact, that power would be a violation of the Fifth Amendment. It deprives people of liberty without due process of law. To have a group of politicians command your attendance is a violation of all things just. Yet that is exactly, those two things are happening right now. You have Congress holding a kangaroo court without any due process, not following the law, not following the Constitution, not exercising a power delegated to Congress. And with that, basically commanding people to attend without any legitimate authority to do so. Now, one of the people caught up in this has been Steve Bannon, right? Trump supporter, whatever. He was issued a subpoena to appear before the January 6th committee, and he refused. And you know what? I give him props for refusing. I don't give him props for everything he's done, but guess what? Congress has no legal authority. Show me where in the Constitution does Congress have the legal authority to subpoena anyone? If anybody should be subpoenaed, it should be the members of that committee in a court of law to explain to themselves why they're having a political kangaroo court. It should certainly be Nancy Pelosi and the other leaders that are manipulating this court for political purposes. Now, if we had courts of justice, we don't have courts of justice anymore, by the way, we have courts of law. And the distinction is important. See, a U.S. District Court judge sentenced Steve Bannon to 4 months in prison and $6,500 in fines for ignoring an illegal subpoena. A subpoena Congress doesn't have the legal authority to issue. Well, they don't have the just authority to issue. Right? Oh, but they passed a law. Yeah, but that law is not the supreme law of the land, because it was repugnant to the Constitution. So you want to see injustice in action. So here you have an unjust court, this select committee acting as a court, calling witnesses, demanding testimony, acting just as if they're a court, violating the Constitution, since all judicial power is granted to the Supreme Court and inferior courts that Congress creates, not to Congress itself. You have them violating the Constitution by demanding people show up before them. They have no legal authority. You are violating people's rights and commanding their attendance. Then you have the House of Representatives voting 229 to 202 to hold Bannon in contempt. You know what? I bet he holds Congress in contempt, because any Congress that would place its own edifice above the law of the land should be held in contempt. I hold the January 6th committee in contempt. They are contemptible. See, contempt is the act of despising, the act of viewing or considering and treating as mean, vile, worthless. Disdain, hatred of what is mean or deemed vile. Well, they are vile. What they're doing is mean, and I hold it in disdain. It is mean and vile and worthless. So I hold them in contempt. But now it's a crime to hold our employees in contempt when they act beyond their legal boundaries. That's what is dealt with in the judicial branch today. Because a court judge has sentenced a man for standing up for his rights to not be commanded to show up in front of his employees without due process of law. Tell me, ladies and gentlemen, where is the probable cause? Where is the oath or affirmation? There isn't. That subpoena, now I've talked before, I received a federal subpoena once. I received a subpoena to testify in a case involving a previous employer. Now, I dislike the language that was used, since I was commanded to appear. But as I've pointed out before, if the defense has the ability to compel witnesses in their favor, I believe the prosecution should have that power as well. I have an issue with the word contempt, but I was willing to show up. They suddenly decided I didn't need to show up when I refused to take the jab or to be quiet about wearing a mask. So, but yes, there is no justice in this. Absolutely, this is injustice, and it's on display. But it's even worse, because there's reason to believe that the reason Bannon has been convicted, is going to serve jail time, is not because he did some evil, wicked thing. Not because he showed up Congress. Well, yeah, partially because he showed up Congress. But also, you see, he's a Republican. Even worse, he was an advisor to President Donald J. Trump. And for that, he had to be punished. I believe that is a large part of why Congress voted and why this judge found that Mr. Bannon needed to go to jail. And I want to think you to think about this. If someone who is well known can be thrown in jail for standing up for his rights. Now, he claimed it was executive privilege. I'd say it's a constitutional issue. What's to keep them from throwing you in jail? And with the understanding that you may be thrown in jail for defying an illegal subpoena, how many of you are willing to stand up and say no? How many of you would stand up and point out, I'm sorry, you have no legal authority to compel my attendance. In fact, you're prohibited from compelling my attendance, from depriving me of my liberty without due process of law. You want to get a warrant? You want to go before a judge with an oath or affirmation and probable cause? Be my guest. You want a bunch of politicians saying, we want you to show up or else? My answer is, hell no. And until we the people start standing up for justice, we may be the very next ones on that chopping block. Now, I want to talk to you some more. I have some more examples of our Department of Injustice. But I need to take a break first. So before I do, I want to remind you to look at Healthy Cell. You think about it, what do you do to make sure you keep yourself healthy? To make sure your body gets the vitamins and minerals it needs. Now, I've been taking vitamins for years. My wife pretty much got me going into that. But it's still a fistful of pills, isn't it? Well, that is until Healthy Cell came along. See, even though that the vitamins haven't really been changed since the 1930s, Healthy Cells reinvented the vitamin. Now, one of the ones they use that I love is called Focus and Recall. It helps boost your short-term memory. It helps your long-term memory retention continue to work, all without the jitters or the shakes or the crashes that you get from caffeine and sugar. See, a lot of people reach for that coffee or that energy drink, but there's a better way. Focus and Recall. Just take it. It's a travel-ready gel pack. Take it. It's full of supplements. In about 15, 20 minutes, you'll find your brain fog is gone, and you don't have to worry about crashing later in the day. Now, you can find Focus and Recall and a bunch of really great products right there at HealthyCell.com. But since you're an America Out Loud listener, I got a deal for you. Use the code OUTLOUD at checkout, and Healthy Cell will give you 25% off your first order. Now, that's a pretty good deal. You go to HealthyCell.com, you check out any of their products, put your cart together with what you think makes the best tools to help you live healthy. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, they give you 25% off your first order. And I'll be back right after this break.
Get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Make sure you go to our website and check the banner bars. The banner bars to the sponsors, when you click on them, automatically give you a discount on products. I like especially Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement for a great night's sleep. I took it last night. No wonder I feel so good today. Check out Healthy Cell and go to our website banner bar to get a discount off your first purchase. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes. The number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Yes, we read and we study the Constitution so that we can all live free. Best of all, we can teach others, especially in the rising generation, to be free. I'm so glad you came back. You know, we're talking about this need for justice, the fact that in the preamble to the Constitution, one of the reasons given for the document is to establish justice, even fair, treatment, equal treatment, not biased based on race or color or creed or sex or politics, which is where my next story comes from. You see, the Department of Justice, well, the Department of Injustice, is begging Congress for more money, specifically to go after their January 6th prosecutions. You see, so far, the Department of Justice has arrested more than 870 people, and they have hundreds of more identified as participants in what they call the January 6th riot. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't some bad actions, but I'm not going to trust the Department of Justice as far as I could throw the Justice Building. So here they have 870 arrests. And remember, we have reports of many of these people being held months without trial in violation of the Constitution. Many of them not getting adequate medical treatment, not getting access to their attorneys properly. We have a pretty ugly situation. And now they want more money to come after more people. Now listen, if you've got a real charge against somebody, you have evidence, probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, that somebody actually committed a crime, be my guest. But from what I've seen, most of these people, basically, all they did was trespass, which even that's kind of laughable because this is a public building, meaning it's effectively owned by the public. How can the public trespass on their own property? But that's a discussion for another day. Basically, they're saying they were in the Capitol building when they weren't supposed to be. I'm not talking about the people that are being arrested for vandalism or property damage or anyone that assaulted anybody else. I am not counting those. But here we have this attack. We have, you know, we've got the Congress going after them. You have the Department of Justice going after them, and now they want more money. And for the most part, what they're claiming is, well, you were trying to stop Congress from doing their job. Well, some of them maybe. Most of them were trying to stop Congress from validating invalid election results. Yep, I said it. Invalid election results. Now, while I'm sure many of the people were there complaining about the fraud that was found in many of these elections, I'm talking specifically about the constitutional violations. The states like, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, Arizona, I think those are one, or maybe one more, that appointed electors in a manner other than that chosen by the legislature of the state. See, according to Article 2 of the Constitution, the states appoint electors based in a manner determined by the legislature of the state, not the judicial branch, not the courts, not the executive branch. So each and every one of those states that modified the process for appointing electors outside of the legislature, they committed a crime. They violated the Constitution. They deprived the people of their state the ability to determine for themselves, through their representatives, how they would appoint electors. And if they were complaining about that, well, guess what? That's not insurrection. That's called protecting the Constitution. That is the exact opposite of an insurrection. But a Department of Justice, a department that in itself should be held in contempt, that has shown over the years to be not interested in justice, but interested in political persecution. And now they want more money to go after more people because of January 6th. Tell me, how much money is the Department of Justice getting to go after those who attacked pro-life centers after the Dobbs decision? How much money is being spent to those who slandered and defamed the contestants in the 2016 election? How many? How much money is the Department of Justice asking to go after, how about James Comey or Robert Mueller for the criminal lies that they perpetrated on the American people? Yeah, remember that? I mean, yeah, I was not happy to see Danchenko get off after the Durham trial. But during that trial, some very interesting things were presented under oath. Well, for example, in March 2017, then FBI Director James Comey briefed congressional leaders on his investigation of the Trump campaign. Now, according to his own briefing notes, members of Congress were not told that Steele failed to back up his dossier, despite being offered a huge, I think it was like $1 million. They offered him $1 million if he could prove one point of that, and none of it. And they, therefore, a lie of omission. Comey failed to tell Congress that the basis for all of these, this investigation, the millions of dollars spent, the warrants issued, the investigations done, was apparently a fraud. Neither did he tell Congress that Igor Danchenko had disavowed the dossier, even though being a primary contributor to it. Now, Comey did tell congressional leaders that the dossier was sourced from, derived primarily from a Russian-based subsource, that the FBI has no control over the Russian-based subsource, which was a lie. See, they used that in the same wording in the FISA warrant application for Carter Page, and it was entirely false. Danchenko was not Russian-based. He was a former member of the Brookings Institute. He's based in Virginia. And not only did the FBI have control over him, he was working for them at the time. So let's see, we're holding Bannon in contempt for not submitting to an illegal subpoena. Where's the charges against Comey? In fact, where's the budget to the DOJ, the Department of Injustice, to investigate Comey? Haven't seen that. What about Robert Mueller? Now, he has repeatedly denied ever having investigated the Steele dossier. And in fact, in congressional testimony back in 2019, he repeatedly said that the dossier was outside his purview. However, investigators that were assigned to Mueller's special counsel back in 2017, one of them, Mr. Herzog, Mrs. Brittany Herzog, let me get the names right, Brittany Herzog, testified the other week that she was specifically assigned the task of investigating the dossier, a task that Mueller claimed was outside of his purview, but he did it anyway. In fact, according to another agent, Amy Anderson, Mueller actually had a dossier team made up of at least five different agents. Or what about Sergei Milian? See, the Mueller has testified that he never met, that Milian refused to meet with investigators. Yet Milian is claiming that from 2017 to 2019, he offered multiple times to meet with Mueller's team in various locations around the world. They could have easily arranged a meeting, but they didn't. Now, I'm no good at predicting the future, but here we have a perfect example of just of the injustice of our so-called justice system. Again, we have Steve Bannon going to jail for not complying with an illegal subpoena. We have evidence, illegal subpoena, making him, or the Congress finding him in contempt of Congress. As if we're there to serve Congress. As if the American people are subjects of Congress, not their employers. Then we have two men who have testified falsely before Congress, before the representatives of the people. And my guess is nothing's going to happen to them. Because justice is unfair. It's unbalanced in this country. If you have money, you have a better chance at it. But what we're seeing is the imbalance of power between those who favor large bureaucratic government and those who oppose it. If you're on the right side of the politics, you can get away with lying to Congress. If you're on the wrong side of the politics, well, then you go to jail for pointing out the limits on Congress. Now, how is that justice? And what can the American people do about that? See, I go back to the preamble, right? We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So if one of the purposes of the Constitution is to establish justice, what do we do when the government the Constitution created is unjust? Well, you may have heard this before, but the problem rests in the hands of the American people. You see, the people that formed the January 6th Committee work for some district in the United States. Whether it's Nancy Pelosi or any of the members, they work for, they're employed by the people in the districts in the United States of America. Let me ask you, do you think they're doing a good job? Do you think they're fulfilling that preamble, the promise of a better union, of establishing justice, ensuring domestic tranquility? Are they enhancing it, or are they crippling it? What about their oath to support the Constitution of the United States? See, if the Constitution doesn't authorize what they're doing, are they enhancing it? Are they following their oath or not? And if they've made a solemn promise to the people in their district to support the Constitution of the United States, what do we do when they don't? See, everybody I talk to is looking for some big thing to do, somebody to come in and, ride in on their white horse and fix everything. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is laying right in front of us. We, the people, establish justice. That's why we created the Constitution. And when the people we hire don't do that job, then it's up to us to do something about it. As John Francis Mercer said, it is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are proposed will govern the United States. It is the men whom it will bring into the government and interest in maintaining it that will govern them. The paper will only mark out the mode and the form. Men are the substance and must do the business. And that is still true today. The Constitution is not going to get up and dope slap the people that are violating it. It is the men, it is the women who go into those offices. Men and women that we choose, we elect, we hire. It is the men and women, we the people, that are the substance. We must do the business. And ladies and gentlemen, the business is urgent. In just a few weeks, we will choose who will represent us in the House, the representatives of the people. Now, you've probably already made your decision. Many of you may have made it based on the donkeys versus the elephants. Some of you may have made it based on, some report or another, or some personal preference. How many of you made it based on the candidate's fidelity to their oath of office? How many of you have asked, when did they support their oath when it was difficult? When did they do the right thing, the constitutional thing, when it cost them something? Well, if you listen to this program, I'm assuming you haven't necessarily made your decision based on the donkey's elephants, but I'm sure there are a lot who have. But if my anecdotal experience is anything, the vast majority of you have not made that decision based on the candidate's fidelity to the office. See, if we wish to live free, men must do the business, men and women. That means doing the work. That means standing up and doing the right thing, even if it's the hard thing. It means choosing men and women who will represent us, that will follow the actual language of the Constitution, not some emotional diatribe or some political pandering. We must do the work. It's attributed to Jefferson, but I have yet to be able to prove that. The saying that when the people fear government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's liberty. The government doesn't fear us. No, whether you believe in the donkeys or the elephants or the this party or that party or this agenda or that agenda, until the government fears the people, it will continue to act like tyrants. It'll continue to form cliques and kangaroo courts to oppose those they dislike. They'll issue fake subpoenas and contempt of Congress because they have no fear of the people. So how do we restore fear of the people to those in Congress? Well, we start by imposing fear of the people to those in your backyard, your city, your county, then your state. Then you'll have the numbers for Congress to fear the people. Now, I wanted to talk about some examples of people that are actually standing up to some of this tyranny, but I got to take a break first. Before I do, though, please, I want to remind you to head over to America Out Loud each and every day to find out what's going on. So I'm one of many voices on that site. There's lots of articles and videos and podcasts and stories, lots of information that you can use. Most importantly, lots of information that you can share. You see, a voice like mine or others on that site, we do little. Yes, we have an audience. Yes, people listen to us. But we'll be wrong to think that it's just these words that will make a difference. No, no, no. Men and women must do the business. That involves you getting involved, even if it's just taking this information and sharing it with others. So please, do what you can. Share this information. Learn how to stand up and be free. Most of all, make sure that the next generation understands what it means to be free. That they understand what the blessings of liberty are. And the only way we can do that is if we work together to secure the blessings of liberty to all of us.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20%. By using promo code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoined the Constitution study. Well, today we're looking for justice. And we're asking, have we established justice? I mean, that is one of the reasons we created a Constitution. It's one of the reasons we created the federal government, was to establish justice. Where is it? And then what do we do about it? I've already talked about January 6th and the FBI and the Injustice Department and all of that. I want to take a look at what's going on at some of the states and maybe some ideas of how we push back. Now, a Virginia lawmaker, Elizabeth Guzman, well, she's introduced a bill to expand the state's definition of child abuse and neglect to include anyone who fails to accept a child's quote-unquote gender identity. Now, I'm rolling this into justice for a couple of reasons, because I want you to think about that. Doing what is right? Remember, go all the way back to the definition of justice. the virtue that consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Do you have a due to force people to comply with your will, with your whims? In many cases, with your childish fantasies? See, that's exactly what this law is trying to do. They're saying, listen, if you don't affirm a child's fantasies, then that's child abuse. It's neglect. See, it's time that this is important. If you live in Virginia, I believe this delegate is up for re-election in just a few weeks. Do you believe it is child abuse to say, no, sorry, Timmy, you're a little boy. I'm not, you know, you can cry about being a girl all you want. You're a little boy. Now listen, when you grow up and you're an adult and you can decide for yourself and you want to act, you want to act a different way, that's your right. But right now, you're a child. You're a minor under our roof, under our authority. And to have the state come in and tell a parent that the state knows better than the parent what is best for the child without finding any physical evidence of trauma is injustice. See, it's one thing to say, yeah, you know, there's evidence. They've been beating little Timmy, right? Little Timmy's got bruises. Little Timmy's got broken bones. Little Timmy is malnourished or some other way mistreated. That's one thing. For a state to have probable cause that there's a problem and then to step in. But that's not what this Virginia delegate wants to do. She wants the state to step in before there's any damage. In fact, she wants the state to force the parents to endorse damage, to reinforce the lie, the childish tantrum. What can you do about it? I've given you a clue. She's up for election. Now, I don't know where she serves. I don't know what district she covers. I don't know what their demographic is like, but I have a very simple question for you. Do you want the government telling you how to raise your child, not simply protecting the child from true abuse and neglect? We are turning the state has, there are those that are using the state and this idea of child abuse well past abuse. They're turning it into a political football. You see, child abuse, as defined in the Free Legal Dictionary, is an act or failure to act on the part of the parent or caretaker that results in death, serious physical or emotional harm. You're telling me that they're claiming that not indulging a petulant fantasy is serious emotional harm? That's what they're saying. It's a bald-faced lie. Child neglect is similar. It's a failure to provide adequate emotional, physical care for a child. A child who doesn't understand their biology doesn't have an emotional problem. They have an educational problem. A child that believes that wishes mean reality changes, they have an emotional problem. Indulging it doesn't make it better. With that child's 14 or 47. But you see, the state isn't interested in justice. The state is interested in imposing their will on the parents. So let me go back to those in Virginia. Do you want a group of elected bureaucrats telling you what is best for your child without any information about the child whatsoever? I mean, tell me this isn't bordering on practicing medicine without a license or practicing child psychology without a license. What are we going to do about it? Before we answer that, let's take a look at what's going on up in Pennsylvania. Now, there's an interesting controversy going on from an election in Lehigh County in 2021, where a person by the name of David Ritter lost the election by only 5 votes, but then he found out that 257 ballots were illegally counted. Illegally because in Pennsylvania, they're not allowed to count mail-in ballots that do not have the date on the outer envelope. And apparently 257 of them were counted when they shouldn't have been. Right? Now, again, this person lost by just 5 votes, so he sued. And this has been bouncing around pretty much since then. Interesting enough, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals denied Mr. Ritter's appeal in an attempt to throw out the election. The details on this are pretty sketchy, and the media certainly has not helped. Now, this went to the Supreme Court, which originally said, no, we're not going to block the appeal. They did eventually come back on a question of mootness, where they vacated the previous opinion of the Third Circuit and remanded it for further instructions dealing with the fact of, you know, is the case moot at this point? And what's interesting is I've heard a lot of pundits saying, oh, see what happened was the Pennsylvania Secretary of State said, no, you still go on counting undated ballots, because what the Supreme Court said was the challenge was moot. Therefore, they didn't say that the merits of the case were wrong. They said the case was moot. But I want you to think about that. You have a Secretary of State in Pennsylvania saying we need to count ballots that violate Pennsylvania law. Where's the justice in that? Remember, this law was created by the representatives of the people of the city of the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and you have a Secretary of State that's just ignoring that. Now, I don't know if the Secretary of State's elected, appointed. But we're back to a question of where's the justice? If the representatives of the people said, no, you have to date a mail-in ballot, and the Secretary of State orders other people to ignore it, what about their own oath to the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which says we're going to follow the laws of Pennsylvania? And the law says, no, we don't count those. So here we're back into this whole, wait a second, where's the justice? Now, I want to get back to the last question. What do we do? Well, there's a couple ways you can do this. One of which has been used quite frequently, is to sue. Now, it's not that suing is wrong, but remember what a lawsuit is. You are petitioning a government to hold a government accountable for their actions. Now, if we had a justice system rather than just a system, well, that might work. But I'm sorry, the justice system in America has become so corrupted, I don't trust it anymore. Now, a restaurant owner in Washington, D.C. is suing the health department because they violated the COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccine mandate. Now, the owner of the restaurant, the big board, is suing Washington authorities because they ordered him to close his restaurant. Now, interesting enough, this is a violation of the Constitution, Fifth Amendment. I've talked about it before. But he said, you know, they were citing food code regulations and Mayor Bowser's requirement that venues let in only customers who presented proof of COVID vaccination. Again, violations of the Constitution. And again, this is a federal city. These are violations of the United States Constitution. All legislative acts for D.C. must go through Congress, according to the Constitution. Congress has sole legislative authority over the District of Columbia. But here we have them violating the Constitution. Well, now the owner is suing. So he's suing the city of Washington, D.C. in a court based in Washington, D.C., populated by people who live in Washington, D.C. Good luck. I do. I honestly wish him good luck. But I certainly would not... I would not hold my breath. Now, the other thing you can do is you can show the world around you just how ridiculous, foolish, and insane some of these ideas are. Enter Brittany Mayer, a San Diego mom who went to her school board with a fairly simple question.
I just want to know what it is that makes a drag show family friendly. Because if you follow it to its logical conclusion, you can slap family friendly titles on anything. You can have family friendly gentlemen's clubs, family friendly strip shows, family friendly 50 Shades of Grey read alouds. Will you approve my flyer if I want to host in all the sex secrets of the Kama Sutra for kids and families, if it's family friendly? That's my question.
Wow.
What is it about a grown man? And I honestly, sincerely, as a woman, mean this. What is it about a grown man costumed in a sparkly bra with augmented boobs busting out, a leather miniskirt barely covering his twerking ass with tuck tape on his front while spreading his fishnetted legs as he writhes on the ground, grinding his groin next to a minor, family-friendly? You owe us an answer.
No.
And you know, you don't get to hide by just taking something down off Peachtree and calling it a day. You owe an explanation and an apology to every parent. Massive problem with child porn, with sex trafficking. You, a little school district board of adults, made the decision to feature an event to hypersexualize young children. Do you want to know that the word that defines that? It's groomer. You all played the activist pimp for an Align surgical center and for a 21 plus gay bar. It makes you groomers and activist pimps. And we won't have those sitting on a school board who oversees the education of our children. You all stepped out of line. You should be ashamed.
Yep. Yep.
There is nothing loving.
No.
There is nothing. Let's unite and include, because the logical conclusion of that is you end up in diabolical evil. There are boundaries, and you don't slap family-friendly titles on stuff to cover your ass.
See, that's what you do. You call them out. You call them out in public. You point to your neighbors and say, we won't stand for this. Why would we stand for this? Why would we stand for a school board, people who are supposed to represent us, providing this for our children? So you need to stop sitting back and expecting the Constitution or the documents or the donkeys or the elephants or the whoever to come in and fix this. You stand up. I love the way this mother did this because she turned it all back upon them. She didn't just come out attacking, say, hey, wait a second, if this is family, what is family friendly about this? She started with, granted, it was a rhetorical question, but it was a question. Can I make anything acceptable if I just slap the label family friendly on it? A question. Questions are great because questions open people up in their assumptions. But look at what she did. She did this in public. Neighbors were around. She pointed out the grotesque actions of their representatives on the school board. She pointed out the ludicrousness, the danger of what they were doing. And then she pointed out their evil actions, that they were unqualified to hold that office. Now, I doubt she changed the mind of any individual on the school board. But maybe she changed the minds of some of the individuals in the audience. This has been going around on Twitter. Maybe she changed the mind of some of the people that have heard this around the nation. Maybe around the world. Maybe isn't about time that we the people start getting up in the faces of our school boards and saying, how dare you? She called them groomers. I call them pedophiles. That's child pornography. That they're sexualizing children. It is encouraging. We used to have a thing called, was it crossing state lines for immoral purposes? These are immoral purposes, and they need to be called out. And the people in her school board and the school boards across the country that are promoting this perversion need to lose their jobs, and they need to lose them now. Again, the Constitution's not going to do it. Men and women, we the people, must do the business of ensuring justice, establishing justice, And that includes doing what is right, even, well, if it's unpopular. I don't know what this lady has been put through since then. I certainly have a lot of encouragement I want to send her way, and I have a lot of hope that she made a difference in the minds of the men and women. Hey, I'd love it if it was in the mind of one of the school board, but mostly in the minds and women of the men and women that are her fellow citizens. See, that's what we must do. We must be willing to do the work. Sometimes that means standing up in front of a school board. Sometimes it means showing up to an election. Sometimes it merely means standing athwart history, stamping your feet and saying, "You shall not pass." Part of it is, by the way, letting other people know that they can hear the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to the programs on podcasts. They usually come out a day or two after they're heard on the radio. Listen on your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, any podcast app will do. Just look for the Constitution Study. Hey, do me a favor. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. Help people find me as well. Find all the links at the homepage for AmericaOutLoud.com. Share them so that other people can know, so that we can fulfill the words of our Pledge of Allegiance with liberty and justice for all.